nanohub.org.
Online simulation and more for nanotechnology.
So you have your questions, right? Can you quickly check? And let's spend just a few minutes to see whether you can answer them. Let's start from there. So you can, do you understand the difference between coordination and composition? The composition, you give me an example, like silicon nitride. What would be the composition? How many silicon atoms? How many nitrogen atoms? It is Si3 and 4, right?
Yes.
So what will be silicon's coordination? It's similar, but silicon has 4,
yes,
because it has 4 atoms.
Yes.
What about nitrogen? How many, what is the coordination of nitrogen? So nitrogen is in group 5. Remember that 8 minus N rule? So it should have 3. So anytime you want to make an amorphous structure out of any material, this is the rule you have to follow, right? 8 minus N rule is a very good rule. There are exceptions, but few. So hopefully periodicity is the second one. Is it essential? This is not essential. That's right. Now, this one is arbitrary ring structure, probably, does it, so what is the problem in terms of arbitrary ring structure, the G3? Why can't you have amorphous arbitrary ring distribution?
It has short ring order, so, and the probability of having larger rings is small.
Yeah, because if you have, let's think about it, if you have a big ring, then you have to make many small rings around in order to sort of return to normal. Because far away from a big ring, you should not know that there is a big ring there, right? And the only way you can return to normal is to have many small rings. But the number of small rings is also constrained. So the big rings and small rings, they are coupled together. You cannot have one very big one without having many small ones, but very small one not probable, right? So this is something, the trick is always to calculate NP, the ring size, average ring size, and you can make it a rule almost that the average ring size plus minus 3 or 4 will be the typical distribution from generally from all experiments. Now, this one I didn't explain probably well. How does temperature enter in the Maxwell's relationship? Maxwell's relationship is?
It's the one, like the edge and the vertex and the like number of cells.
That's right. But in that, do you see that nowhere in that calculation there was a temperature involved? So where does temperature come in? The bonds will try to stretch and then they will try to flex. Right? So what we did was temperature 0, everybody frozen in their place. Then you're trying to push closer together, the repulsion or attraction, they essentially keep them in the place, that's bond. And the angle, essentially, if you have the electrons, if you try to bend them together, they will repulse. So that's where that temperature would come in. When you do molecular dynamics, you are doing a more sophisticated version of Maxwell's relationship. Right? Okay. Now, do you expect more or less defects for over-constrained system? Over-constrained, if you have too many constraints, then chances are because things can break. One of them, because it has too many, it doesn't need as many. So when you increase the energy, if it breaks one at one point, it can reduce the overall energy that it has. So over-constraining it is not a good idea. Now, what about, is there a 3D version of Euler relationship? There should be one, right? In fact, there are in any dimensions, on any surface, this is the essence of theory of topology, the entire book that you write when people say that topologically invariant. So amorphous structure is called topologically perfect because topology simply says you move things around. without sort of changing their relative connection. So this structure, Euler relationship, you should check it out. This is actually valid for all the... Now, why is a single-stranded DNA floppy while graphene is strong? Who wants to answer this question? Exactly. So this is a very... So the answer is that DNA doesn't have angle constraints. And that's also why single DNA, single-stranded DNA is unstable. But as soon as you conjugate them, two DNA comes together, they become stable. Why? Because the second DNA, through the hydrogen bonding, provides the angle constraint. So now it cannot rotate an arbitrary angle. And so the answer that why a single DNA is a floppy ball, on the other hand, a conjugated DNA is essentially a long linear line up to a certain point, is completely determined by geometry. You don't need any energetics or anything to answer this question. Right? So that's all I had. Do you have any questions that I can answer?
Quick question.
Sure.
So are most of these angle constraints related to the strong force?
It is. Do you remember that anytime you have electrons in, let's say you have four covalent bonds, if you try to bring them together, there'll be electron-electron repulsion. And so they will be flipped apart. There is this unpaired electron also that prevents, that makes water, you know, a bent structure because of the unpaired electron. So this is, we are talking about those type of forces.
It's more Coulomb interactions rather than strong force.
That's right. These are all Coulomb interactions because we are talking about electrons.
Okay.